The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
Gasper!
From the Town Fair Tire Studio in lovely, picturesque Dorchester, Mass. Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'll give the old proverbial tip of the cap to Hardy, who just wrapped up his Hey, It's Hardy program, which for the last 30 minutes, at least that I heard, was not wasting anyone's time with four sports takes in a time of no sports, which I can appreciate. That's a real-ass radio guy after my own heart. Plop him in any format, pull the string, watch him go. Those are my people. But considering that I didn't get to weigh in on his question, what movie do you love that other people hate? I will do it now, even though one of you bastards already beat me to it. I was like on the phones. I was like, no one's going to say it. No one's going to say it. No one's going to say it. Ah! 2002's Death to Smoochie. Did you ever see that movie, Chris?
No, I never saw that one.
Stars a twisted Robin Williams. May he rest in peace. In one of his darkest roles. I feel like no one saw this movie because it completely bombed at the box office at the time. He stars as Rainbow Randolph, a drunk, angry, washed-up host of a popular children's show. Ed Norton is Smoochie, thus Death to Smoochie. He's a big, goofy purple dinosaur that essentially usurps Rainbow Randolph as the hot new thing in children's television. Blacker-than-black comedy. All the smug, uppity critics hated it. But take my word for it, underrated gem. Robin Williams, Ed Norton, incredible in it. Produced, I believe, by Danny DeVito. Great movie. Great movie. Which, if people looking for cheap laughs in an incredibly dark time, I can't recommend it enough. Is there a movie that, and you love a lot of terrible movies. What's a movie that you love that the people by and large hate, Chris?
Ooh, that's hard to think of off the top of my head. A movie that I love that the people generally hate. I'm going to have to give me a moment on that
one. All right.
I'll think about it throughout the course of the show.
Okay.
I mean, there's so many terrible movies. I mean, pretty much any Marvel movie, as you know.
Yeah, but those rate well with the
okay.
people.
And, yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think of movies I walked out on. I walked out on that first Transformers.
Oh, I like that movie.
Yeah, see that. But I think by and large, the people kind of like that.
Yeah.
Because the people are idiots. yeah, you think about that. In the meantime, though.
I'll always watch Cocktail when that movie's on.
That hasn't aged well. Yeah, that movie has not aged well. A lot of those 80s movies have not aged all that well. Like, you go back and think because you grew up with that.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, Bloodsport, those people want to talk
yeah.
about like, those are not great movies.
Oh, Bloodsport, that's a good one.
Yeah. Anything Van Damme, not great. What was the hockey one with the Penguins?
Sudden Death.
Sudden Death, not great. Not a great movie. But people like it. So, you know, I guess it's all subjective, and it's up to the people's opinion, I suppose.
Yes.
A lot of panic out in these sports media and sports fan streets here the last 24 hours or so, what with all these positive tests, Chris. So you think we're getting sports?
You know, I think that a lot of these leagues had prepared for positive tests, and they said that they were going to prepare and sort of plow through, but now the rubber meets the road. Certainly it's jarring when you hear about the positive tests, but I still think we're going to have sports because I think they're going to just push through. I really do.
Because it's business and the dollar first.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's the way that I feel about it, but it is really, that doesn't mean we'll get every sport. Like, I think college football, it's a little harder because you're talking about the health and well-being of unpaid student athletes.
Yeah. Well, again, it's student before athletes.
Yeah,
you know,
allegedly.
So, well, right. But
I mean, now we're really going to find out. I mean, let's be honest. They're unpaid employees of the university.
If those kids are ever going to get paid, though, now would maybe be the time where, you know, they can really fight for that. Because that's the one well, besides baseball, but that's the one entity I just don't see happening, because we're talking about unpaid athletes, you know, like they're students. There's no way that they can put them out there, especially if some of these colleges are still going to say, oh, no, we're going to hold our classes remotely, but you're going to have games. Like, how is that even plausible?
Yeah, I mean, I think college football could be in trouble, but I still think you'll see the NFL. I think the NHL and the NBA are just going to press forward. And Major League Baseball, to me, is a little bit of an enigma, because I think that they could end up using the excuse, the ruse of health and safety to shut it down when it's really about the owners saving money.
Yeah, so I have, you know, I've talked sparingly about baseball. We didn't really even touch it on your spot yesterday on Felger and Maz, but I know you have some thoughts here. You know, these things have kind of gone back and forth and back and forth. It really felt like there might have been a breakthrough within the last, well, like 4 or 5 days, right? I think it was reported by John Heyman at the time, like, hey, you know, they've figured this thing out. They've counted.
You can only think since he's blocked you on Twitter.
I hear it word of mouth.
Yeah. Exactly. You're not sure it was John Heyman, but you've heard.
Blocked by John Heyman. And I would like to formally announce, as of late last night, now blocked by Nana Florio.
Nana Florio blocked you.
He
congratulations.
Did. Yeah, because some people were hitting me up. And also at mentioning at Pro Football Talk, and then it, like, you get a message that says, like, you know, the account owner limits who can view their tweets. I was like, well, what the hell is this about? Some of these people, and sure enough, I clicked on it. You're blocked.
Really?
That's a win for the kid here.
Now, are you blocked from at Pro Football Talk, or just what's his Twitter handle?
It's at Pro Football Talk. Yeah, and so I don't know what he was going off about, what his latest finger wagging was about, but I have not been blocked by him. But back to the John Heyman baseball, all that, it did feel like, oh, okay, there's going to be some compromise here, but it was, well, it's 70 games, no, 60 games, well, we want 70. Like, you know, Maz brought it up the other day, and it's right, like, even me, who's a rockhead when it comes to math, I can come to that compromise. Can we just say 65 games? It's like both sides, and I feel maybe the players more than anything else right now. The word compromise, it's like they don't even know what it means. It doesn't even exist. It's not in their lexicon at all, Chris. Like, they just, is that so hard? You want 70. The owner said 60. Let's just settle on 65, which leads me to believe the biggest sticking point here is, well, for one, my thoughts just as a whole, this latest thing that happened this week when they had the commissioner and Tony Clark meet in Arizona, that was all theater, because the rising tide went against the owners earlier in the week after Rob Manfred went on to ESPN and said, after saying, oh, no, there's going to be baseball, 5 days later, I don't see it happening. People started to turn on the owners and Manfred. And who do the commissioners always work for? They're the lapdogs of the owners. I think some of those owners said to Manfred, like, look, just go meet with them. Go meet with them. And because now the people are coming after us, because for the most part, they've done a really good job of making the players the bad guy. And I think that was nothing more than theater. They knew the players probably weren't going to take this latest proposal put in front of them, because I think the real sticking point for those guys, the MLBPA, is the grievance clause, that they can't file a grievance. And as long as that's in there, they're not going to. So it's not so much the games as it is the grievance. So this whole thing, I think, was just for show this week.
So I think the grievance and the games are connected. You know, MLB wants them to waive the grievance so they can't turn around and say, well, you didn't try and play the maximum amount of games, which is what they're supposed to do per that March 26th agreement. And so I think if they amount of games is high enough, because in the MLBPA proposal for 70 games, they were saying both sides would waive their right to file a grievance. So 70 games was, to me, this is just so tedious. Like, just settle on 65 games. And you know how you know a compromise is a compromise? It's when neither side is happy. Right?
Yeah.
And so I read these stories, and the reporting's been, you know, excellent in The Athletic from Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellich. But when I look at it and they're saying, oh, you know, 60, here's why 65 might not work for them. And I'm like, no, this is why 65 works, because both sides would still be pissed. That's how you know it's a compromise, when, like, nobody's happy.
Yeah.
That's compromise. And I just don't understand why we're wasting time here. This is the inevitable. 65 or 66 games. Let's go. Get it going. Move on. You've dragged this out so long. They're literally 10 games apart. And here's the other thing I'll say. I don't fault the players for wanting the owners to play more games, because not yesterday, but the Friday before, they proposed a 72-game season with 70% of the salaries guaranteed. Now they come back and it's full, you know, pro rata for this, for 60 games, and all of a sudden 12 games got lopped off? What? How? like 12 games got lopped off. How many days on the schedule did you actually lose? When was it, Tuesday or Wednesday this came out?
Yeah.
This proposal from MLB with the 60 games. So in 5 or 6 days, you lost 12 games. That doesn't add up. And so to me, the obvious answer is 65, 66 games. Let's go. But this being dysfunctional baseball, instead, they're like on the brink again and they can't agree. And they're just baseball's. It's amazing to me. It's the ultimate sport that majors in wasting time on and off the field. This is what it is.
Yeah, the tone deafness on both sides is really unbelievable. And they've had the model to look at with some of these Asian leagues, like the KBO, you know, and just given
Japanese baseball just returned,
given the sport's inherent spatial aspects, I guess, you know, for lack of a better term, like they're the one that should have been back the first. You know, there's been callers that have checked in and that I've heard say, you know, 4th of July, that was first talked about, you know, months ago now. That's where baseball can actually, you know, open up. It's, you know, the American holiday, the American pastime. That's not happening. And I now think it's just not going to happen, not just because of the labor issues going back and forth between the owners and the MLBPA, but you see these outbreaks that had the Blue Jays and the Phillies close down their facilities. Yeah. They're closing facilities, Florida, Arizona. I don't know. Now, if I'm a player and I'm pissed and I just feel like, well, this whole thing feels like it's falling apart anyway, after all that news yesterday, I would be one of those guys that would just say, you know what, the hell with any of this. Like, we'll figure it out in 2021. I'm not even going to bother. Yeah. I just wonder if this is now a tipping point for MLB and the Players Association, too, as they've had this spat going on. Now that they've had these shutdowns and these positive tests, that they tank the whole thing. Like, that's the one sport I really don't see coming back at this point.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I think the owners would be happy at this point to tank the whole thing, although they wouldn't get that postseason money.
But there's already like 5 or 6 of them, right, that have said.
Yeah, they don't want to play.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a good point. The players, I think, want to play because you want to get some of your money. But let me just tell you this. Yesterday, right, Japanese baseball started. They started yesterday, so that was Friday. They're going to play 120 games in a season that ends November the 7th.
Jesus.
I mean, that feels a little aggressive.
Yeah.
But to the player's point, I mean, you should be able to get in more than 60 games. If it turns out you're able to play, you know, from a health and safety standpoint.
Give me that number again. How many are they going to try to play?
They are going to try and play 120 games.
So that's like no days off at all. You know, I think that I don't even know how the hell that's possible. Just, I know, do the math, Jim. I get it, but that seems excessive. But if you're the players and you're asking for more games, you now have the baseline there, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, when you look at it, again, the owners have just been so transparent. And this is what I've said all along. Look, every business in America has been financially impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Baseball is no exception. But I think what really bothers these owners is not just that they're going to lose money, but that some of the money they lose, a significant portion of it, is going to go to the players.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of the unsaid thing about this. It's one thing to lose money. It's another thing when you're losing that money and it's like, oh, it goes to the underlings. Ugh. Like, that's real. I think that's really what it is.
Yeah.
They don't want their losses to go to the players. And I think that's why this has become such a protracted fight. I'll be honest, I really don't understand how anybody could be on the owner's side in this. I feel like their behavior from the beginning has been despicable.
Oh, they're both terrible. They really are. And so I get that. And I know there's others like John Tomasi that feel as strongly as you do against the owners. And credit to the owners for the way that they played this. They've made the players look as bad as possible because they've let them talk. I just can't get that Blake Snell comment out of my mind from about a month and a half ago when he was on Twitch. Like, I got to get mine, man. Like, oh, dude, like, even if you do feel that way, don't say it.
But it's
like,
even now, though, because you had Bill DeWitt, the chairman of the Cardinals, come on, but, you know, baseball, you know, this industry is not really that profitable.
Oh, that's a crock.
Yes,
they just signed the billion-dollar deal with TBS.
Yeah, and like Tom Ricketts of the Cubs. So it's like, you know, you can point to your Blake Snells and Charlie Blackmans, but then you have Bill DeWitt and Tom Ricketts on the other. I mean, you're talking about the Cubs and the Cardinals, two of the teams with the most faithful followings. I think the Cubs are the fifth most valuable team in baseball. The Cardinals might be seventh.
Mm.
And they're saying, you know, it's not really that profitable.
Oh, like the Cubs aren't profitable. Please, yeah. Even when they're terrible, you can't get a ticket to go into that dump.
Well, so
All right. Well, we are here. It's Gasper Murray. Did you come up with that movie yet? Did you think of a movie during the first
segment? I stopped. You know, I'll work on it. Let me think about it during the break.
Think about it. As Hardy was doing during his Hey, It's Hardy show, what movie do you love that other people hate? Mine with Death to Smoochie. Thought I was going to be alone on an island on that. One of you son of a bitch callers already beat me to it. Ah, damn you. All right. We're here. It's Gasper Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Good morning.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Open up, talking about... still trying to figure out Gasper's movie that he loved that other people hate, based on Hey, It's Hardy.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man.
Spending most of his show talking about
that.
I'm
a great movie person. I'm racking my brain. I'm trying to think, like, because the movies I watch are all, you know, as you've pointed out, a lot of the movies I like are terrible movies. You might have to name some movies, and I'll just try and, you know, run through and think, like, oh, no, I like that. That was...
Oh, the old pass the buck, you do the work, Jim. Okay,
yeah.
I see how that works.
Well, you know, but you have better recall for pop culture than I do.
That is...
At least pop culture that doesn't involve Kristen Cavallari.
That is true. So let me try to see if I can come up with some.
Okay.
We'll try to get that answer out of you between now and 1.
Let's try and squeeze that out.
But Chris had some thoughts about MLB that he didn't get to yesterday on his usual spot on Felger and Maz. But the latest in Major League Baseball, the owners tell the players 70 games, not happening. Well, I don't know. You just settle on 65.
Same yeah, let's just move on.
Impossible for that to happen. And the outbreak of coronavirus, what does that mean for baseball? And really the return of sports as a whole, because you had the outbreak with the Phillies. You had Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Tampa Bay Lightning guys.
Tampa Bay Lightning. That is a mess. Really, it's the hot spot in the country right now is Florida and Orlando and that area where the NBA is supposed to go in a month, right?
Yeah, July 30th. I think I read yesterday Orange County, Florida. The positive test rate right now is like 15.2%.
And is there any way to spin that as a positive in that it's, hey, this is maybe herd immunity, we're all going to get it. And look, unfortunately, the death numbers are what they are. But is it fair to look at this and say, talk to me when the ICUs are overrun and when the death numbers are getting crazy? Like, aren't these spikes essentially going to happen, I feel like? You know, I don't know. I don't know. I just it's concerning, but I don't think it's pure panic time yet. At least for me, I can understand why some people would be like, "Oh, this is all bad. Shut it down. We can't have sports." But for me, easy for me to say as I'm sitting here behind a microphone. I'm not one of the professional athletes, you know, that are being told, "Hey, you got to go down to Orlando on a hotspot." But
yeah,
I'm not at super panic yet.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm at super panic either. But you have to keep an eye on it. And look, a lot of the NBA guys are already balking for a variety of reasons. Some guys don't want to be in the bubble. They think it's restrictive, and it feels a little bit like being,
in a posh prison.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you know, luxury incarceration to some of these guys.
Yeah.
And then there's also the issues that have been brought up eloquently by people like Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard and now Lou Williams, and not so eloquently by Kyrie Irving about potentially distracting or detracting from the racial justice movement. So there's a lot going on. And then there's the health and safety factor. When you put all those things together and you think about it, it's probably a little dicier than we think for the NBA. Like, I'm an NBA optimist, and I don't know if that's just because I love the NBA. Mm-hmm. I also think the players in the league have a better relationship than most leagues do, so I feel like they'll work it out. But when you mention health and safety, you look at the social justice ramifications that guys are talking about, and the fact that it seems like a lot of guys are sort of chafing at the idea of being sequestered in Disney World. Those are some major hurdles to clear to get back to NBA basketball.
Let's go to Howard and Randolph, who's first up on Gasper Murray this morning, about the MLB season and whether or not it will happen. Hi, Howard.
Good morning, gentlemen. Best show on the year.
Oh, well, thank you.
Two quick points. I have a suggestion to make baseball better, but I just wanted to comment on, I believe the owners are to blame, mainly because the initial offer was 82 games, half salary. Now, the owners are the ones that signed these guys to very high contracts and inflate the payroll. But obviously, if they're not going to have fans, they would make more money on the revenue for the TV because more people would be watching. So they should just stick to the initial half salaries for any two games.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I mean, that's where, that's with the players, it's, you know, like we've all had to take pay cuts here. I think collectively, almost as a whole throughout the nation, we're all making less.
Yes.
And it's like they still want to have that. That salary that they're used to getting, but without fans, I don't understand how that's...
But they're not, though, because the season's cutting. Like, they've already taken their cut. Their cut is... They're basically saying, we want to be paid per game. So however many games you play, that's the portion of the salary that we want. They've already taken a cut. They're not getting their... You know, the season's 162. They're not getting their full salary. They're just saying, like, if we play 70 games, then we want to have, you know, we want to get 70... 1/62 of our salary. That's all they're saying. You know, basically, it's a day's pay for a day's game. That's what they want.
Pete in Delaware on the NBA bubble,
which isn't radical to me, but I don't know. I'm not an MLB owner.
Hey, Pete.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good. What's up?
So hey, when I was reading the requirements for the NBA, one of the hotels, I believe it's June 22nd when they. The part of the Disney's opening will actually be interceding with one of the hotels, like for the amenities and stuff. So that's something to watch because with the virus numbers going up, the amenities are, I think it's the leased hotel, the third rated hotel.
The
Yacht Club.
Yeah, the Yacht Club. That's it. Yep. And the amenities that are attached to that will actually be used by other people at other resorts that are, I believe it's June 22nd, they're supposed to reopen.
So what, just used by families that are trying to go there and, you know, for the usual Disney reasons?
Regular, like, that's where the quarantine part of it becomes tricky because they will be, the amenities part of it, they'll be mingling in with other people.
Huh.
So, yeah, so that, and they said because it would be tricky, and that was before, obviously, what's going on in Orlando. What really bothers me, guys, is I think the leagues are doing so much on the health end of it, and I give them credit for that. The problem is some of the states are not even close to the league protocols. So I think the leagues are trying to do the right things, but when you're in states, some states that aren't, it's going to make it even more difficult. And then if you're an NBA player and you're watching everyone in Florida doing what they want and you're quarantined, how long is that going to last?
Probably not long. I think people are going to get bored and want to go out or order food. So one of the things that they've been told here in this plan in the bubble is, you know, you got to eat everything that's, you know, being served to you in within Disney. Now you can hire a personal chef and bring them down, but I'm sure that, you know, a lot of guys, especially some of the lower paid NBA players, aren't going to want to spend their money on that. So maybe a guy is going to want to order a pizza from somewhere outside of the compound.
Well, that's where the snitch line comes in.
And that's where the snitch line comes
yes.
in. These hotels, though, it is funny to me because this was something that Felger brought up a while back on Felger and Maz that, you know, what, there's going to be incentives for those top teams, your Milwaukee Bucks, your L.A. Lakers, the Celtics. You know, they should maybe get the better hotels. And that's actually what's happened. So the Grand Destino, which Disney site calls the Celebration Christmas, the unique blend of Spanish, Mexican, and Southwest American cultures coming together. The Tower at Coronado Springs Resort was open last July. Room rates start at $263 a night. So that's where the top teams go. But having heard from some callers throughout the week, apparently it's not that great. I don't know. Based on some of the photos, it looks like the Encore. So it looks nice on the four photos I've seen. But I don't know. Overall, though, whether it's there, the Grand Floridian, or, you know, Suckbag Fort Wilderness, all these guys are going to be in for a rude awakening. It's not going to be the Four Seasons and the hotels that you're used to when you're traveling. So I can understand from a player's aspect why that might be bothersome, too. You check into this place and be like, this place is a dump. Or it's just, I don't know, like Disney. It's not that great. I wouldn't want to go. Disney as a whole, what the hell.
I'll be honest. I would pay money to be able to have, like, drone cameras follow you around Disney. Like, to just be able to sit at home with the thing of popcorn and just watch you the hell that is Disney would be amazing. I feel like that would be the best show of quarantine. First of all, I feel like you'd lose your mind, like, 2 days into it.
Oh, Chris, I went to once. Never went as a kid. Never wanted to go as a kid.
Okay. You didn't?
Nope. Never once.
You never wanted to have your parents pack up that USS flag and fly you down there?
Never once. Never once as a fat, spoiled child did I ever want to go to Disney. And then it was a bad, wild time. 21 years ago, my mom diagnosed with cancer, and it was, you know, like, so my nieces and nephew were real young. They were Disney age. So
okay.
My sisters, my dad, like collectively the family was like, well, let's have like a fun, like a last hurrah trip. That was really the theme of it. Okay. Bring my mom down. We'll go to like the whole family went to Disney. I was a, you know, so we're dealing with this as a family. My mom like getting sick by the day.
Yeah.
And I'm in my early 20s, as angry can be. You think I'm pissed now at 43. Just a, like it's a, infinitely more than that. Believe me when I tell you, I've actually calmed very much in the last 20 years. I know that may sound like a stretch for some people, but it's true. So I got to go down there. I also have to stay in the room with my parents. My dad snores like a boar. Watching my mom, like, you know, it was horrible. And then it's Disney, which is horrible. Horrible, Chris. So one of the days, you say 2 days in, I think it might have been the second day, I basically just, like, went off the reservation. I was like, I can't deal with this. And I went to a beach and I got like blackout drunk. I just sat there and drank pina coladas and beers. I just had like a bag of beers and drank myself blind.
At Disney? Or yeah. This is a different beach?
No, at Disney on one of those like, you know, fake beaches that they put in there one of the hotels. And I got woke up by someone that worked security or something because I had like slept through they get those, that part of Florida, you get those crazy thunderstorms right around 4 or 5 in the afternoon. I had passed out and slept through one of those thunderstorms, and I think they thought I was dead.
Oh, sitting, my God, like, Jim.
Sitting on a beach chair and a beach on that resort. And it's just the forced joy, all the stupid characters, a million gross people, children. Oh, it's just, everything's infinitely expensive. All the food stinks. I don't know how you do it. You people with kids, you are better people than me for many other reasons. But that you do this and you spend your hard-earned money, and I know you're not having a good time, and I understand because you got the kids, you got to do it. My issue with the Disney people, Chris, more than anything else, are the Disney adults that don't have the children that still think
some
it's
people
the
love it.
I don't get it. I think
they love it.
I said it yesterday. You people should be on a list. If I was in charge of all things, if I was King Murray, King of America, you'd be on some kind of list. I'd be watching you because what are you really up to? Why do you want to go down to Disney as an adult and not bring children? There's something up there. I don't know what it is, but I don't like it.
You're terrible.
Oh, the place stinks. All right. Well, with that, a few minutes behind here on the commercial break, we'll get to that. Maybe Chris has come up with that movie that he loves that everyone else hates. We'll see if we can still try to dig and find that. But we'll be back after this. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So what else has been a burr in your saddle this week, Chris? I know we touched on a bunch yesterday, but if anyone missed your appearance on Filger and Maz, what kind of sportsy stuff is irking you, or what do you want to get off your chest?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm trying to think, you know, what's at the top of my list? I mean, you know, we talked about it yesterday, and I know I feel like I may be in the minority on this, but I still remain surprised that we haven't gotten some sort of public declaration decrying racism from Bill Belichick.
Well, and then when you use the example of all the other big name coaches in the area have already put out something, so it's not like there isn't precedent. So I can understand where you're coming from there. How's the feedback been on that?
I'd say mixed.
Yeah,
but the people that disagree with me, I think, are the more vocal ones. My only point to the folks who. Well, I have a couple points for the folks who disagree, and disagreement's okay. That's what America's built on. But a lot of what their rationale seems to be, well, it only matters what his team thinks. So are you then saying that the only black people he should care about are those who play for him or coach for him or work in his scouting department? Is that what you're saying? That's all that matters? Those are the only people he should be concerned with? Those are the only people he can help, even though he's one of the most influential figures in all of sports, and whatever he says or he weighs in has great impact and meaning, but he should just, you know, it's the team. That's also a little, I think that's also sort of in some ways denigrating Bill, because it's saying that what he did with the team was not something he did because he thought it was important, but he did it because it was necessary and in some ways self-serving. And I don't believe that. So I think even though some of the people trying to defend him, if you really sort of break down the rationale you're using, whether you realize it or not, you are basically saying that Belichick only did this because it was like self-serving to him, which I do not believe in terms of having the discussion with Rahsaan Hall from the ACLU, which, to be honest, he didn't initiate. I mean, that was Devin McCourty. I know that for a fact. The other point I would just make is that he did get that Fritz Pollard Award. And for people that know the Fritz Pollard Alliance, it's a diversity alliance. It's a advocacy group. Fritz Pollard was the first black coach in the NFL. And, you know, they really push for more diversity in the NFL and making sure there are more hiring opportunities for minorities. And he got that award at the 2019 Combine. And I think if you get an award like that, you know, you sort of have to talk the talk, don't you? And I'll say this too, you know, I haven't said this, but I was at that ceremony when he got the award. He was unable to attend because he had a scheduling conflict. He was coming into Indianapolis the next day. No problem there. So Scott Pioli was there. Nick Caserio was there. They accepted the award on Bill's behalf. And Bill had a video prepared speech, which was very nice. It was cool. But then afterwards, I know that Bill's personal PR guy reached out to a Globe reporter and basically was like, hey, can you do us a favor and publicize this, that he got this award for supporting diversity. So you want it publicized that you support the, you know, you got this diversity award, but then you can't release any sort of public statement now when we're in the middle of maybe the most significant, I'm not even going to say civil rights, but human rights movement in regards to being able to eradicate racism and systemic inequality. That doesn't add up to me.
No, that's a fair point. And this is an issue that certainly shouldn't be politicized, but has.
Yeah.
Do you wonder, though, given his affinity and affiliation with Trump, because, again, he had that letter that he wrote and the Trump read in Manchester, New Hampshire 4 years ago when he was campaigning, that...
Even if let's say he wrote a similar letter, Jim, sorry to cut you off. Let's say he wrote a similar letter to, I don't know, you know, the head of the NAACP of Boston. Don't you think that letter would be out there? I mean, that's a private letter that gets, it wasn't Bill's fault. Bill didn't intend for Trump to leak that letter. But let's say he did the same thing. Don't you think we would have heard about that letter by now?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It would have leaked somehow.
Somebody would have put that out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or so, his personal PR guy would have pushed it.
Would have made sure it got out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's kind of part of my point as well. Like, you know, he probably is doing things that we don't know about that are private, and that's great. But when it's somebody like Bill Belichick, a celebrity, those things tend to leak out, and they haven't so far. So that would indicate to me that those things aren't happening.
So do you think it comes?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't. Because he doesn't have to, because he has the blind support of so many people here. And the other part that sort of ticks me off about it, and this has nothing to do with Bill, is that the same people saying, you know, leave him alone, he's a football coach, he doesn't have to do it. If he had done it already, or if he does it, will come out and applaud it immediately. So no matter, it's not something that has to do with ideology or difference of opinion. It just has to do with blind fealty to a football coach. If he were to come out and do it, the same people saying he doesn't have to would say, that's great. He came out and did this. That's tremendous. I applaud it. If he doesn't do it, it's like, well, that's great. You know, he doesn't have to. You can't force his hand. The PC police, he shouldn't have to do this. So no matter what he does, it's the right thing. So it has no basis in the actual discussion of the issues or what the right thing to do is or whether there's any responsibility there as a celebrity with the platform. It's all about just whatever he does is automatically the right thing, either way.
The man is infallible in these parts, and boy, it gets annoying. Like, it's why I have often referred to him as Bill Jong-un. Man goes out to play 18 holes, he finishes with an 18. Like, everything that he does is perfect. How dare you doubt of the draft picks and things like that.
Yeah.
And
this is the same thing.
Yeah, it is another one of these. Josh in Attleboro, your thoughts on Bill Belichick and what Gasper is saying there. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, so I just disagree with the style. I mean, the approach that you're taking towards Belichick, and that's essentially saying, why hasn't Bill Belichick released a statement? Could it be, you know, fill in the blank? You know, and then that fill in the blank is an explosive kind of almost accusation that you're doing. You're saying he's not.
Oh, I disagree with that. You're going to have to back that up. No, you're going to have to back that up. What is the accusation? Because I made it very clear that by not releasing a statement, I am in no way, shape, or form saying that he is racist or that it's not racist. I've said that, so don't put that on me. Don't put that on me, because I've made it very clear, because I thought some idiot like you would try and accuse me of saying he's being racist. So you're going to have to back that up and take it back, or we can drop you.
Okay, that's, you know, a little aggressive, excuse me, but frankly, you might say that it's not racist. You say that, but the implication is still there. A reader reads your title and is left, and when left to their own devices, will arrive to their own conclusions, which could be what you say you're not doing, but essentially you.
So I'm a liar. I'm a liar then? Is that what you're saying? That I can't be taking it my word. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm just saying that, like, you might not intend to do that, but by writing in that way, by putting him out there in that way, you're leaving it up to the jury, the jury of the mob, which, as we know, will did, eventually just so just
did
you
know, read
run wild.
Did you,
individual
did you,
individuals
did,
are,
did you read the article?
Intelligent.
Did you read the article?
Frankly, I didn't read the whole thing. No,
you
I
didn't read it. But, okay, goodbye. Yeah. Drop this fool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So you didn't even read the article, and you're saying that the title of the article leaves me open to insinuating somehow that I'm saying Bill's racist when I've come out and said clearly on this station that by not making a public statement in no way, shape, or form do I think that means that he's racist. And I do not believe that Bill Belichick is racist in any way, shape, or form. And if you read the article, very early on in there, I spell out and say him not making a statement could mean something. It could not mean something. And I mentioned the Fritz Pollard Award that he got. So if you can't even take the time to read the article, then don't come on and try and debate me on the article. That just makes no sense. I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you want to debate him, read the article.
And I'm open to having the debate. And I understand people who disagree with me. I have no problem with that. I really don't. But I have a problem when you come on and sort of insinuate that I'm saying he's racist when I'm not. And I've clearly said that. And then I have a problem when basically you're saying that even if I say he's not racist, that's not good enough. So you don't believe me there. So I'm sort of a liar. And you're too intellectually lazy to read an article that's free. Like, I used to be able to let people get away with that when I worked for the Globe.
The damn paywall.
Because it was behind the paywall. But now on WCVB.com, there's no paywall. So if I tweet it out and you're too lazy to read it, then we can't really have a discussion, can we?
Yeah, that was a way to get a plug Channel 5 there, too. That was very
elegant. Yeah, I kind of sneaked that in.
Very well done there,
yes.
Chrissy.
Yes.
No paywall. Go read
Can I just
article.
Say something real quick, too, Jim? What about all the other coaches that are... So they're just... They've done something wrong, or they're stupid, or they're just pandering. So, like, you know, Sean Payton, Pete Carroll, Bill O'Brien, Greg Popovich in the NBA, Mike Malone of the Nuggets was actually at a rally the other day. Bruce Cassidy said Black Lives Matter. Brad Stevens has been vocal about it. Bruce Arena talked about it. So all these other coaches, what about them? Have they all done the wrong thing?
No, but as I mentioned yesterday, I do wonder, I mean, not, I don't know, like maybe Bill certainly doesn't care about, I guess, the mob or the people.
No, he never has.
But I look at someone like John Elway, who's GM of the Denver Broncos and, you know, quarterback legend there, and he puts out a statement, and a lot of people are like, I don't believe it because you're a Trump guy, you're pro-Trump, and you've been with Trump and all this kind of stuff, and it's like, well, you can't win. So I do wonder if that's part of it. Like,
I mean,
people know my affiliation with the president. They basically know I'm going to end up voting for him again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put anything out.
Yeah, I can see that. He's never really cared about that. So I don't think that would necessarily in any way, shape, or form be something that prevents him from putting out a statement, would deter him from putting out a statement. But I do think that doing something is better than doing nothing. And in this particular circumstance, like, you're not going to please all the people all the time. I think we all know that, particularly with social media. But just given the momentous movement and sort of the inflection point I feel like we're at in our country, I think just putting something out, and he could do it through the Bill Belichick Foundation, which does a lot of tremendous work for students. And some of those students and people that have gotten those scholarships are minorities. So you could just put it out through your foundation. It doesn't have to go out through the Patriots. You could put it out through the Bill Belichick Foundation, which does a lot of excellent charitable work, and just say, you know, whatever, you know, I condemn systemic racism. That's all you have to say. I don't think anybody's looking for him to say Black Lives Matter. I go back to the Nick Saban statement where he said systemic inequalities. I mean, if to me, again, if Nick Saban can do it,
he's
anybody
college
can do
Belichick,
it.
Just, you know, just on, how he carries himself.
And it's not just, the reason I say I bring up Saban, it's not just because they're similar, but much like Bill, Saban is the ultimate like tunnel vision football guy.
Yeah, right. It's
like
football.
It's football above everything else. So if he can peel back from football and do it, then I feel like anybody can do it.
617-779-0985. You want to join Gasper and Murray here? A long commercial-free segment is coming up next here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stay tuned.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Are you familiar with Machine Gun Kelly? Do you know who he is, Chris?
I do know. Who did he date?
Well, he's now with Megan Fox. He was with, who is he?
Was he with Halsey?
I think he, yeah, he was with Halsey at one point.
Yep.
He was with, who's the other MILFy gal there? she was in the vampire movies that everyone loves. Vampire.
Kristen Stewart?
Movies. Hot actress.
You
know who I mean.
Ashley Green.
No.
No?
A little older.
Older than Ashley Green?
She doesn't age. Vampire movies. Oh. Movies. British actress.
This is on air Googling.
Yeah, no, I know. Kate Beckinsale. He was also with, yeah, who does, I mean,
oh,
she
yeah,
just
Kate
doesn't
Beckinsale.
Age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, on the Diane Lane All-Star. She might be the team captain.
Like, always throws high 90s.
Yeah.
But yeah. Beckinsale. Well, I just,
he brings it.
We're coming back with Motley Crue, and it made me, this is how my brain works. He played Tommy Lee in the Netflix biopic, The Dirt, which was the movie about Motley Crue. But I hear that, and because I just saw the other day, connecting this to what we were talking about earlier, Hardy's topic, what movie do you love that other people hate? Wow, I'm really spinning my wheels here. Why did that I'll connect?
Machine Gun Kelly,
Machine Gun
Dirt,
Kelly, you, Dirt,
Netflix, Tommy Lee.
Brain just went.
Pamela Anderson. Is there a Pamela Anderson thing in here?
I don't know what it was. Oh, because we're talking about bad movies.
Yeah.
Transformers. Megan Kelly.
Megan Fox,
rather. Megan Fox in that movie.
Yes.
Now dating
Machine Gun Kelly,
who was in Motley Crue, just came back with Motley Crue.
Woo.
There we go. That's all putting it together.
Now I feel like I'm in like Good Will Hunting. Like you're putting it all together. Or
yeah.
What was the
beautiful mind.
Beautiful mind. And I love that.
As it turns out, he should have been in a padded room, just like yours truly.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But well, that just reminded me. Yeah, that Machine Gun Kelly, man, that guy. Yeah, he is.
He gets it in, huh?
I don't know what it is. It's the talent, I guess. I don't really like his music all that much. Maybe that's what the ladies are into. Maybe he's all hog. I don't know, but they like the
like
tattoo.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah, right.
Is he a member of the Pete Davidson All Stars?
That guy too. Yeah, that's apparently like that's one. He is this generation's Pete Davidson. Is this generation's Adam Dervitz of Counting Crows? That
yes.
was a guy back 20-some-odd years
yes.
ago, Chris. The
yes.
guys like you and me are like, how does this mother ever get like? Again,
yeah,
oh, he's with all of the girls from Friends, and then he's with this one and that.
Wasn't
one.
He it's, with Kate Hudson?
I believe he was with Kate Hudson in her prime too. So yeah, Machine Gun Kelly also one of those guys, a part of the Pete Davidson All Stars. Oh, well, there we go. All right, a lot of people lined up want to talk about this Belichick column. Did you read it? Please tell me you actually read the damn thing. If you're going to call in, or Chris is going to pop off like he did on that caller. Mark and Wayland, you're next here on Gasper and Murray. Hello.
That's funny.
Sorry, guys. I had you on speaker. Just taking you off. I heard you guys talking yesterday. I love the heat that Chris Gasper brings on this subject, especially with that last caller. I used to think a little bit like him, and I'm changing my thoughts, and I just love the way that Chris Gasper brings the heat on social issues on the station, and I think you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. And as far as her horrible movies, I used to get stoned after a night of drinking and watch one-star movies on Netflix.
Hey, do you have a recommendation?
Yeah,
Mark?
Do you have a one-star recommendation?
If you're okay with some nudity, they're like basic. We'd have an over-under in the first pair of boobs being brought out. But Attack of the Three-Headed Shark, Zombievers.
Oh, so you're talking like real trash. Like, those are terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Like, I can't move and do anything hungover, so me and my buddy just smoke a bunch and watch awful movies.
Yeah,
you know?
I got you, Mark. Yeah. Yeah. See, you sound like a younger guy, too. That in your 20s or so, like, that's, yeah, I would join you on that. Now, time is too precious. I can't sit there and watch those kind of those real Z-grade movies where it's, like, bad CGI and things like that. No, like, I like a good bad movie. Rockstar being, that is now, like, I get Shawshanked by Rockstar. Anytime that is on, you know, starring Mark Wahlberg. You've seen this with Jennifer Aniston as well?
I don't think I have.
She's, like, the dud girlfriend. Shocker. Rockstar, I think, is maybe the best bad movie of all time. It's just so campy and cheesy, and it's all about hair metal bands. Oh, I love it. Tony in Kingston on the Belichick column by Chris Gasper. Hello, Tony.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Chris, I think the thing with him is that he is so adverse to any controversy. I'll give you a for example.
Sure.
Say deep down he believes that kneeling is a deference to the flag, like sure. A lot of people do, right?
Sure, yeah.
He doesn't want to be pulled. If he comes out with a statement, that would be unique. Hey, Belichick said something. He doesn't want to answer any questions. He doesn't want any ancillary questions such as, hey, how do you feel about kneeling at the national anthem? How do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? And he kind of has the luxury of saying, look at my actions. Because when someone brings a lot of stuff up, like if somebody already says, let's say somebody's supposed to be working, and they say, do you know how hard I'm working? I'm doing this, 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 and this. Immediately your mind goes to, you're not doing anything. If you got to tout your own storm, okay, then maybe you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So I think what he's saying is that, listen, I have shown through my actions that I am a fair and even guy. And yes, he'll cut anybody, yeah. Okay? And that I do not want, like, his family was all military. Maybe he doesn't like kneeling to the flag. And I'm just throwing that out there. I have no idea.
But he wouldn't have to mention kneeling to the flag, though. You know what I mean?
Like,
he wouldn't have to mention that.
Yes. But I'm afraid I think he's afraid that he might have to. And I'm just giving that as one question.
No, I hear what you're saying.
He's just so adverse to any type of controversy.
Yeah.
He's the master. He's the master of saying something without saying anything.
That's true.
I'm going to let you go on that, Tony. Appreciate it.
But I think there are some things that are more important than football.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of them. And I think you can put out some really benign statement, sort of like Nick Saban did. And you know, look, I don't think Nick Saban wants to answer those questions. I don't think there's a lot of coaches that want to answer those questions. But they're still putting stuff out there.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting here and trying to impugn him in any way. I'm asking the honest question of why, like, what's the downside? Why hasn't he done it? I'm surprised by it, honestly. So, I mean, you know, please enlighten me. Why, you know, as he attempted to do, why he hasn't done it? And I would just say, look, when that Trump letter came out, he, you know, he did talk about it. And he talked about sort of the idea of, you know, he said, I'm not a political person. And maybe that applies to this, but my counter to that would be, well, this isn't a political issue. It's a human rights issue. It's not, but maybe he does see it as a political issue. Maybe he feels like if he puts something out that's seen as sort of supporting one side. I would say that's sort of a sad reflection on America that, you know, doing the right thing, like, you know, one party or one sort of group of people is perceived as having the monopoly on rectitude. That's kind of disappointing, but maybe he does see it that way, that it's sort of a political issue and he doesn't want to wade into it.
617-779-0985, couple open lines. You want to join us here on Gasper Murray, get you caught up with the headlines, and then right back after this here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.